Why the ACLU is full of hot air. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. Along with me today is my Vice Chairman, co-host, good friend, fellow analyst, and all-around great guy, Chuck Michaels.
And as always, I think we're going to have an enjoyable time today analyzing public policy, although the things we're going to be looking at aren't all that much fun.
One of the things that we're looking at, especially today, is a continuation of what we talked about yesterday, Chuck. We're going to talk a little bit more about House Bill 125, Ohio's heartbeat bill. As you folks were aware from our conversation yesterday, this bill, which had passed the Ohio House in June of this year by a 54-44 vote, had been sent to the Ohio Senate, where it had languished, not being assigned to committee, because the leader of the Ohio Senate, Senate President Tom Niehaus, was concerned about the bill, wanted to review it before sending it to a committee, although that's exactly what a committee is for, is to review legislation and work out any issues that are there in it. However, all that...
Let's not confuse the issue with facts, shall we?
Let's not confuse...
He wanted to review it. He didn't want the committee to review it. He wanted to do it.
No, he picked a hand-picked group, a small hand-picked group of senators to do their own review and report back to him before he would assign it to committee. However, they were...
A super committee.
And we know how great a super committee really is, and it's the same at the federal and at the state level. They can't really get anything done. So they finally reported back to him at the end of November, and the bill has been assigned to the Senate Health, Human Services, and Aging Committee, where it has its first hearing today. We were pre-recording this program today because, as you're listening, I'm sitting in a committee room listening to the debate on the heartbeat bill, and Chuck is sitting in a committee room listening to the debate on the founding documents bill. We are actually down at the State House today, so we pre-recorded this for you to listen to. But the interesting news that came out yesterday, Chuck, on this bill wasn't the fact that it was assigned to committee, wasn't the fact that it's getting its first hearing in front of the Senate committee. It was the fact that now the American Civil Liberties Union of Ohio, the ACLU, had a press conference on Tuesday. Why? To say that all of you out there in our listening audience who, when you went to the polls in November and you voted on issue 3, that was the Ohio Healthcare Freedom Amendment, what you were in effect voting for was the repudiation and opposition to any issue relating to pro-life. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. I know that you may not have realized it, but the ACLU in their socialist magnanimity is saying that when you went and cast your vote for healthcare freedom, what you were really telling your legislators was they can't pass any legislation that would do anything in relation to healthcare whatsoever. Now, Chuck, you and I both know that the federal government has no role in healthcare under our Constitution, no matter which way you stretch it, elasticize it, or make it necessary and proper. But the state governments, because of the 10th Amendment and a concept called federalism, can engage in this area and oftentimes do.
Well, which is exactly why the states can regulate insurance sales, the types of policies that are available and the types of policies that aren't available.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because that is one of the powers left to the states by the 10th Amendment.
Well, and Chuck, and I'm glad you said that about what kind of health care plans are available, because that's what issue 3 was all about, was that the government couldn't come in and tell you what kind of health care plan that you had to buy. Or, first of all, they couldn't tell you had to buy it. And secondly, they couldn't prescribe to you how much coverage or what type of plan you must buy. That's what health care freedom is all about. According to the ACLU, however, what that really means is that they are going to sue the state if they pass the heartbeat bill, because they see it as an infringement upon your health care freedom, that the right to kill a defenseless unborn child is health care freedom. Now, Chuck, I know that the ACLU usually resides on a planet that's somewhere outside our solar system and way left of us, but in your wildest dreams, in reading the Ohio Healthcare Freedom Amendment and discussing it and analyzing it as we've done in this program, would you have ever made the connection that a bill that says that you can't take the life of an unborn child after you detect its heartbeat is somehow tied with the provision of healthcare plans?
It's dumbfounding. The only thing you can think of is there's some kind of a perverse understanding of what life is, when it begins, and who is in control of it.
Yeah, I think it's, you're right, and I think it's interesting. You know, they're saying that, well, these bills are unconstitutional. They're talking about, first, the heartbeat bill, House Bill 125, and another piece that has been sponsored and supported by Ohio's Right to Life, which is the state pro-life organization, the one that's been around historically. Now, that piece of legislation, what it would do is it would exempt from the health care exchanges under Obamacare the provision of purchasing coverage for abortion. Now, if you wanted to stretch the metaphor, Charles, and say, okay, well, issue 3 says that they can't mandate what kind of health care plans you can have, I think I might see the outside glimmer of the logic of that argument in relation to that particular piece of legislation.
The problem here is that the coverage, what they're talking about, what they're hanging their hat on, is this idea that if the life of the mother is at stake and you quote unquote need to do an abortion to save the life of the mother, something that has not been the case in many, many, many decades. What they're trying to say, I think, is that the coverage for that healthcare issue won't be allowed.
Right.
And in fact, you and I both know that, for instance, this is a bogus argument. It's the same old bogus life and health of the mother thing. As we both know, it's bogus because when you do your best to give the mother the best possible treatment to save her life and also attempt to save the baby and the baby dies, it is not an abortion and no insurance coverage for the act of abortion becomes necessary.
Exactly.
This is a red herring.
Okay, well, you're right. It is a red herring, but, you know, even more so, and I want to dig into this a little bit deeper because obviously when Planned Parenthood or the ACLU have press conferences, the media always goes over to Ohio Right to Life to get their response to it. And I thought this was interesting because the executive director of Ohio Right to Life, a guy by the name of Mike Ganadakis, has basically said that, well, you know, the ACLU's got it all wrong. And this is what he quoted. He said, the federal health care law, commonly referred to as Obamacare, specifically says that individual states can opt out of abortion coverage in the state exchange. Okay. The one thing that Mike Ganadakis didn't say is that the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, i.e. Obamacare, is actually unconstitutional on its face. The federal government has no role in health care provision. However, this executive director of Ohio's pro-life organization, Ohio Right to Life, is assuming that the Obamacare is constitutional, even though we know for certain, and if you've listened to this program long enough, you understand that we have analyzed this, that Obamacare, no matter how you want to twist it, cut it or slide it and try to push it into the Constitution, doesn't fit because the federal government doesn't have the authority to do what they did. However, this pro-life group, instead of standing up against the entire principle of this law, which is, and a number of federal courts have also found to be unconstitutional, they're basically saying, well, no. This bill gives us the right to opt out of abortion coverage in the state exchanges. In other words, he's endorsing an unconstitutional bill. However, with Heartbeat, with House Bill 125, this same executive director and their organization has spent months decrying how unconstitutional this bill, Heartbeat, is when in fact it's based upon constitutional provisions already found in law. I think, honestly, our friends over at ORTL need to get some new analysts because they can't understand an unconstitutional bill when they see it. Nor can they understand a bill that is not unconstitutional.
Well, Mike Ganadakis also is having issues with grossly oversimplifying the relationship between the state and federal governments. I have a quote here in a Reuters story. He noted, if the current legislation passes, Ohio will be the 13th state to opt out of abortion coverage in the federal exchanges. Ganadakis says if it comes down to a discrepancy between the federal law and the state law, the federal law prevails.
You know what, Chuck? I'm starting to believe we might want to cut a CD of some of our previous programs on the Supremacy Clause and on the unconstitutionality of Obamacare and on Issue 3 and maybe send them our treat. to Mike Gonadakis so he can learn how to understand the Constitution. Now, I know he's an attorney, so he probably went to a law school where they studied con law but never studied the actual text of the Constitution.
Again, yeah, because this is supremacy clause follies. The supremacy clause only holds in areas where the federal government has been given specific enumerated powers. And guess what? There are no specific enumerated powers in the healthcare field. And therefore, this is just the usual tail-chasing silliness.
And you're right about that. And the point is, ladies and gentlemen, what we're trying to make is you have to be careful not to let talking heads, and I guess I'm talking about us too,
yeah.
tell you something as a fact without checking it first. I mean, if you looked at this, if you listen to the ACLU, you would think all these bills are unconstitutional because we passed an amendment that says that we have the freedom to choose our own health care plans. And so, therefore, a provision outlawing a procedure that takes the life of an unborn child is unconstitutional. On the other hand, if you listen to the other side of the argument in this particular instance, you would assume that an unconstitutional federal edict, the Obamacare legislation, was constitutional, and all we have to do is figure out ways of working inside of it or using provisions in it to get what we want done. Now, I'm asking you, Chuck, which one of those is the most dangerous gambit?
Oh, gosh. Do you even really need to ask me the question? Sitting around and letting the federal government decide which of its prerogatives is really its prerogatives? The federal government's always going to decide in favor of its own power and authority. And this is one of the problems with leaving the Supreme Court in charge of what the extent of federal power is. The extent of federal power is not what the Supreme Court says it is, it's what the Constitution says it is. And very often those are not the same things by a long stretch.
I think it's interesting as well, and I think the ACLU honestly has a really, really tough row to hoe here in relation to the heartbeat bill, because what they're trying to sell, Chuck, is that the people who went out and voted with a two-thirds majority in Ohio at the polls in November, who voted for issue 3 to protect Ohio's healthcare freedom, for some reason would believe that, oh, we can't keep abortionists from killing unborn children with a beating heart. Now, the reason why I say that is because I think it's funny that two-thirds of the electorate passed issue 3. That's the exact same numbers of the electorate, Chuck, who support protecting an unborn child once a heartbeat is detected, according to statewide polls that have been done here in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Two-thirds of Ohio voters would stand to protect that. So I don't believe that the vast majority of those people, when they went to the polls in November, were in any way, shape, or form trying to make a public statement that we can't do something about the scourge of abortion.
And that's a stunning point right there. People are not interested in having their freedom to choose their health care options taken away by the federal government. And likewise, they're also not interested in allowing the federal government to prevent the state from protecting human life. Everybody recognizes that that heartbeat means that that's a live human being, and to dismember that child or kill it in some other manner and then dismember it is not something that society wants to allow to continue. And it's not something that can be allowed to continue really and maintain any kind of societal cohesion.
So basically what we're getting down to, ladies and gentlemen, on these two bills, the ACLU cannot have their cake and eat it too. And we think that some attorneys who are working for pro-life groups need to be sent a copy of the Constitution so that they understand what is and isn't truly constitutional. And I guess when we cut to the chase, Chuck, what we're saying is there is a provision that says that any act by the General Assembly of our state legislature is presumed to be constitutional until courts determine otherwise.
Well, look, this whole thing resembles nothing less than an ACLU poker party. Some of the boys got together, drank a couple, and said, hey, I think we've got them. This is not well thought out, even though I'm sure they will be able to find a federal judge somewhere that will side with them, at least temporarily. This is utter nonsense.
Absolutely. Well, with that, I think that we're about at the end of our time today. So Thank you for being with us. Stay with us weekdays at 5:30 for Principles and Policies for our daily program. And also join us on Saturdays at noon for our one-hour analysis of current events and issues from a biblical perspective. This is Barry Sheets and Chuck Michaelis telling you to have a good evening and keep in prayer the things that are going on in our state right now. Momentous decisions are being made while you're listening to us.